listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki
Hunter. Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 2nd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here, but I want to say happy World UFO Day, July 2nd.
Oh, very interesting. Yes, I'll concur. Happy World UFO Day.
I almost missed it.
Did you happen to see a UFO today? It'd be the day to do it.
No, I didn't. There were clouds.
Ah, well, next time.
Next time.
So happy to see everybody joining us in the live chat. Always love catching up with you each week. And we always want to thank those that take the time to listen to us in the archives. We do appreciate your feedback as well, and we appreciate you joining us. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we are very excited to have a special guest, a bright up-and-comer, I think you've heard his name by now, Dr. Doug Kelly, joining us with the topic Artificial Intelligence and Academic Integrity. Welcome, Dr. Kelly.
That's my boy.
Glad to have you here. I'm really looking forward to tonight's topic.
Cool. Well, good to be here, and it's good to see everyone. I hope everybody's doing good. And so tonight we're going to talk about artificial intelligence as it relates to education. I know you guys have had programs, at least one, on AI stuff. And this is something that a month ago I wasn't even thinking about. In fact, I've learned a lot more about AI in the last month than I had before. So, I mean, I knew about it. I knew it was out there. I knew things could be done, obviously, but I really didn't know much about it. But anyway, I did some research, and the reason I looked into it is because I begin to notice, I don't know how to even phrase it, almost peculiarities in some of the written answers and assignments I was receiving. They were, and you know, every student's different, you know, and we don't grade for spelling or grammar or punctuation or anything like that. It's just, you know, I'm getting quite a few of these absolutely flawless, I mean, literally flawless essay answers or assignment questions and whatnot. And I'm thinking, great, you know, in the beginning, wow, that's just for students, a great writer. I mean, excellent. And I love to see that. And something just didn't seem correct. It's just like all of a sudden out of the blue, I'm starting to see all of these perfectly written answers and formatted and cosmetically good. And you know, what's going on? So I did some research and come to find out that the use of artificial intelligence in various ways is been a big thing in education. It's, in fact, it's been a big problem in education for reasons that we'll go into tonight. And so that's what got me looking into it. And so I spent some time really looking into it, trying to edumacate myself. That's a technical term. And because I are sophisticated. So that's another technical term. So that's what got me looking into this. You have a point? Question?
No, I do know that in writing, in my Word program, it's asked me if I want AI to help me. And I turn it down. But I also know that literary agents refuse to read any submitted material that is assisted with AI.
Really? I didn't know that.
Well, only because my son-in-law in the U.S. has been trying to shop for an agent, and he's been notified if there's any AI contributions in this, we will reject it immediately. So it's interesting.
You know, may I just suggest one thing on that? To train AI like ChatGPT and others, they use a wealth of information that's online, and a lot of times that is stealing from, you know, copyrighted materials. Mm-hmm. And because of that
information... We're getting ahead.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
But go ahead. You can finish your sentence.
I was just going to say, I suspect that's why publishers have a problem with it, because it could be a potential legal liability.
Yes, and I think you make a good point there. So, you know, let's talk about that more. The challenge to education, and I'm talking about standard traditional universities and any school, really. But, you know, the education field's been grappling with how to deal with this issue. There's a lot of, I mean, it's newer. There's some uncertainty. Some colleges and universities are a little bit laxer on it. Others are very strict on it. And so you can just, in fact, some universities allow the professors to determine the policy for their classes and so forth. So, but here are some of the issues that come to mind. And the first one is using AI to write assignments and complete exams considered cheating and plagiarism, you know, which are both forms of academic dishonesty. The second point, it literally defeats the purpose of getting an education. This is in my opinion, because the student's not really learning anything other than how to cheat. Third point, it diminishes critical thinking, problem solving, and creativity skills. That's my point. It just does. Fourth point, it is shirking personal responsibility. Because if students learn to cheat and take shortcuts in classrooms, what kind of citizens will they make later on? And the last big one here, it's unfair to students who don't cheat. So the big issue with education, the education field, is that using AI to write complete assignments is a form of cheating and plagiarism because, like you said, son, that AI grabs stuff from, you know, the world at large, the writings at large, to do its thing. This kind of gets us into the types of AI. Now, there are two general types that we're going to deal with in education that are relevant. The first type is a generative AI, or Gen AI, they call it for short. This means that the AI application, app, software, whatever, will generate or write the content. I mean, you can feed in a bunch of stuff and it'll kick it out. You know, apps like ChatGPT, Grammarly, Copilot, which is in MS Word, and others can generate assignment content as well as complete exams and quizzes. And that's where we get into an issue, you know, with using AI. And Scooter just came in. He's been gone all day. My cat, one of my cats. My drop dog cat we took in 3 years ago. All right. So the second type of AI is what I came up with. I'd call it corrective AI. In fact, I looked it up and yeah, there is such a thing as corrective AI. And it has to do with a variety of things, but this is a form of corrective AI. And this is things like spell check or grammar check because it corrects errors, right? It doesn't write the the paper or the assignment. It just corrects spelling errors, grammar errors, or punctuation, that kind of a thing. So that, in my opinion, is it helps people with spelling. And I mean, I've learned a lot from spell check and grammar check and so forth and punctuation. And it can be very beneficial to helping you become a better writer. So that's fine. So the big issue that many educational institutions have, and I have, is with generative AI, where the program will do the heavy lifting, if you will. It will write it. And you can feed in information, it'll rewrite it, whatever, but it's basically carrying the load. And that's not what education's about. That's not right. In fact, all the stuff I write every week in the newsletter, and I published all this stuff yesterday in the newsletter, the weekly newsletter. So if you haven't read it, you can read it there. And I'll have all of this up on the dashboards of the schools in the next day or so. But the lost my train of thought. I lost my train of thought. So let's just carry on.
You know, so, if I can interject here, you know, when you first started the school and I came on a few months later, in the first couple of years, you were even doing, were helping people learn to write.
Right.
And it got so frustrating, as I recall, and it seemed to be progressively, if I can say this out loud, worse, like people's writing got worse. And I don't know if that's the educational system. There's learning differences. There's all kinds of reasons. I remember assisting a few students with learning differences, a few dyslexics, and people, which we were happy to do. But eventually it's just, it's so much time. It was so all consuming to help people to learn to be better writers and get their point across that you had to start making some allowances.
I ditched, we're not going to grade writing ability, because you're right. In the beginning, back in 2010, when I started IMHS and I started taking in students later that year, and I was doing that. And of course, there weren't that many students to begin with, just starting out. And so you came in about April-ish of 2011.
Yep.
You enrolled and we went through it. And what I think you're trying to say is I didn't notice that individual students' writing got worse. It got better because we were helping them a little bit. But what I noticed was that as the influx of student enrollments began to occur and we were receiving all these assignments, it began to make an impression on me how many people did not know how to write.
Yep.
That was amazing to me because, prior to that, I had never been exposed to, you read books, but those are all edited and by professionals and all that. So anyway, that was the point. And the point I was trying to make earlier before I got lost my train of thought was that all of these newsletter articles that I write, I wrote them. And just for kicks and giggles, this article that I sent out yesterday on AI policies, I ran it through the AI detector and it came back 0% AI. I was curious, I'm thinking, okay. And I've had another student along, somebody I've known for many years who's going through the program, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but I'll tell you, he submitted two variations of what he normally does, the raw one and then the one he runs through Grammarly. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. So let's lead up to that. So the AI policies I'm going through and I'm thinking, okay, what are other institutions using for their AI policies? What are they doing? I'm trying to, zero in on a reasonable and balanced approach to this whole thing. And again, I found it all over the place. So, and I couldn't really come up with any one institution that was, oh yeah, you guys got it. And so I continued to think about it. And again, my effort is to be to simplify it as much as possible and be reasonable and fair. You know, that's what I want to do. So what I came up with is this. You may not use AI apps or tools to write or rewrite any assignment or take any exam or quiz. In other words, you cannot use generative AI to do your assignment. You cannot use a machine to do your work. So that's prohibited. What's allowed is you may use AI apps or tools for checking your spelling, grammar, punctuation, etc. You can use them for proofreading, provided that doing so does not fundamentally rewrite or alter your work. So in short, you write your assignments, you take your exams and quizzes, no one else, human or machine. So that's the bottom line. I think that's very reasonable. I think that's very fair. In fact, University College London notes, if you think it would count as cheating to ask a human to do something, don't ask generative AI to do that thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's nobody that would say, you know, like some kid at school, hey, mom, will you do my homework? That you can't do that. Dad, will you do my homework? No, they can help. They can assist, but they don't do it for you because that's cheating, right? And so the same thing applies with AI. And that is the thing, the bottom line here. And a lot of people don't think about that. Well, I'm just using now. It's not like asking somebody else to do my assignment. It's just a computer program. But it is, because it's artificial intelligence. You're asking another entity, in this case a computer, to do your assignment. So that is cheating. And by using some of the phrases, like you said, son, earlier, you could be subject to plagiarism because those phrasings are not yours. They didn't come out of you, you know, and you didn't do your due diligence to make sure attribution was given. And this is another area that I want to say, this is one of the issues that I had, because in the last couple of months, I've had students who have done excellent essay answers. And there was one in particular that had some absolutely amazing insights. And, you know, and now my problem is, I don't know if those insights were the students or the computers. Mm-hmm. And that bugs me. You know, I wanted to think of the student, wow, this person's got it going on. They are going to go far, you know, and all that. And now I simply don't know. They might, you know, but it, you know, ran through and it's 100% AI. So I don't know. And that, I don't like that. I want to think the best of students. I want to think I'm, as I've said many times, I'm students' biggest cheerleader. I want to see everybody do well. And I want to see everybody grow and evolve through this program, because we need that. The world needs that. And so how do we check for AI usage? And there's a variety of ways, because this is not an exact science. There just isn't. And so I've been using an AI detection tool, and it helps, you know. But then there are, in these AI apps, there are applications that will, quote, humanize, unquote, content. So you can have the AI write the piece, and then you can run it through the humanizer, and it's supposed to make it more like a human wrote it. Wow. That, again, is cheating. And right. Even beyond that, you go on Facebook, and I've been getting all kinds of it since I've been looking into AI. I don't know why that triggered it. I get all these ads on Facebook telling me, oh, you know, our AI app will write it so that it'll bypass the detectors. You know, what they're doing is they're selling software to help people cheat. Now, where's the moral in that? I mean, what's the morality in that? That's just not right. So use an AI detector, and I run a lot of stuff through AI detector. And it's amazing how many times it comes back as 100% AI. It's interesting. It's either 100% AI or 0% AI. It's very rarely 63% AI. So
what are you doing in that case when something comes back AI?
Well, it's so new, I haven't done much yet. But there's also another thing I'm using is, and they call this a human review process. So when you kind of get the knack of it, the hang of it a little bit, you begin to see, pick up on little things, phrasings that people just generally don't use. In fact, I begin to write them down, you know, and I'll, I mean, there's, and I hate to give these away, but I'm going to do this because students can pick up on this and then, you know, avoid this. But here are some phrasings that I have picked up on AI generated content. And they're just little snippets. First one, a major takeaway, powerful lessons. This has been transformative. Can't even talk. This course emphasized, this insight has helped me. This course has strengthened one of the most important points I learned from, another valuable insight, one of the most powerful lessons I learned from, this concept reframed how I approach, another key insight was, one of the most impactful lessons was, a particularly unique and transformative strategy I learned. This course taught me. And then the last one, deeply significant to my journey, is blah, blah, blah.
I've seen a few of those on my courses.
Yep. And here's the thing. I can, when I try to get across, and I have an article on how to get 100% on exam and quizzes and assignments. And I've put it in the newsletter before. It's on the website. It's on the dashboard. And the one thing I want from students is for you to be real, you know, write your piece. I'll go ahead and use spell check and grammar check. I don't care. In fact, please do. Makes it easier to read. But I want to see who they are. I want to see what you learn from this course. I don't want a summarization of what the course taught. I know what it taught. I wrote it, unless it was yours. You know, I know what the course teaches. What I want to know is, what did you learn and how are you going to use it? How's it going to help you? How's it going to benefit your life and your family and the world?
I'm fascinated.
Go ahead.
I really am. Because now you've got all my flags going here, too.
Your radar.
Yeah, I know. And and that said, though, the way I've – matter of fact, a few of those lines were repetitive in a couple of papers that I've graded my own courses. And I thought, well, that's just what they're writing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people are repetitive that way. And, okay, it did not occur to me that those could be AI flags.
Right. I'll send you a link to my detector.
And on that topic, if you don't mind if I interject here for just a second, Dr. Mike has put in the chat something that I've known of as well, and he has written that limitations and accuracy concerns of AI detection apps include false positives, where human-written text can be flagged, and I have read articles on this where they have tested it. And the problem is, as the technology becomes more sophisticated, like those ads you've seen, it's going to be harder to detect with those. And then the other point that I want to just emphasize, it's something you already spoke on, but I just want to emphasize it again. You know, when you use AI, just like you said, if you were going to have somebody write it for you, it's the same thing as having some AI write it for you. It would be wrong in both cases. And it's not as much that it's cheating the school or cheating the system. It's cheating yourself.
Because absolutely.
Writing is a process of thinking, and you need these skills to... You need to maintain these mental pathways so that you can think critically, so you can put together, you know, cogent arguments and, you know, something that is going to really communicate your ideas. And that is a skill that needs to be maintained. When you give this cognitive power over to AI, you're taking it away from yourself and you're not practicing that skill. You're really cheating yourself more than anything else. So,
and we're losing the human content. We're actually, I think, losing our identities. Mm-hmm. And in my writing in my books, I have an editor, and I appreciate the human interaction, the discussion about it, you know, and not just something that's correcting what I've written. But I can, for instance, you know, Ed has been editing my books, and we have these wonderful conversations about characters and plots, and he'll have some ideas. Not that I totally agree, it doesn't matter. We're having a discussion. That's an interaction that, and I got to say this, even I remember, and I know this is off, not necessarily, but off topic. Many years ago when I was raising chickens, I'd phone my friend Lois, say, Lois, you know, blah, 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 chickens. She goes, read your book. I said, well, then I'd have no reason to call you. You know, other than what? I like talking to you about chickens. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem even with Google. I think that, you know, I've got a question. Well, just go ask Google. And Google's not even going to be correct all the time. But we've lost this human dynamic. And I find AI kind of grates my nervous system a little bit. Because who are you? If what you're writing or even what you're saying is something that you got from AI, I don't know who you are.
Right.
That's but when the point.
But it comes to the school, Dr. Kelly. I can't imagine this position of what do you do? How do you handle this when – because the whole point of the schools is for, you know, self-determination, self-learning, self – like any evolution of sorts, but if AI is doing it, well, you're just evolving AI content.
That's very true.
We'll get to that in just a second on what we're going to do about it. But let me finish up and let me address before.
For sure.
As I mentioned, you know, this AI detection is not an exact science. That's why I use more than just an AI detector.
Okay.
And let me now share with you an example that I alluded to a little bit ago. I have a student. And nice guy. I've known him for 20 plus years, and he was part of Spirit Team back in the early days when I was doing paranormal investigations. Nice guy. And so he's going through this, and he's very smart. And I was asking him, you know, because I checked his, and it came back as 100% AI. And this is when I was formulating this, and I know him. And so I said, what are you using? And so he said he's using Grammarly. And so he helped me. So he gave me two variations of an answer to an essay question on the final exam in IMHS. And so he sent me the first one, two paragraphs, and I ran it through the this is raw. This is not checked with Grammarly or anything else. And I ran it through the AI detector, and sure enough, came back 100% AI. And so then he mailed me the variation that had been run through Grammarly. And again, it came back 100% AI. And I told him, and we kind of laughed. And he's been using Grammarly for a long time. So I suggested to him that, you know, that's kind of train him how to write some of this stuff, you know. And so that therein is another bit of a potential issue. You know, that you use the AI so much that you start to write like AI does. You know, and it's not inherently who you are. And so you need to figure out your own style, not AI style, but your own style. And so not depend on us too heavily. And so that's an issue. And so that's why there are human review processes required as well as AI written or AI detectors. And again, even though these efforts to humanize an AI written content, it can also still be detected and likely will be. So, All right, what do we do? You know, what do you do? I mean, the furthest thing from my mind is to accuse a student of cheating by using AI. You know, that's the furthest thing. I don't want to ever have to do that.
That's got to be a delicate process, though.
And so, you know, I understand, and not everybody's going to hear this program, and not everybody's going to read the newsletter, not everybody's going to clicked on the link for the AI policy on the dashboard once I get that up there. So they're not going to know. And so what I've been doing with a couple of, especially since yesterday, because this AI policy went into effect yesterday, July 1st, 2025. And so what I've done is I have, when I run it through there and this is 100% AI, I've just on my comments, I won't say much other than 100% AI, 0% AI, something like that. And I'm just doing it on a case-by-case basis, playing it by ear. And I may mention something. If you're using something, make sure it's not rewriting your answer. So I'm going to approach this very delicately, softly. I'm not trying to accuse anybody. I don't want to have an issue with anybody. I don't want students to be paranoid. I want to know who you are. So show me who you are. Write your stuff. And use spell checker, grammar checker to polish it up a little bit. But don't let these programs rewrite your material, because they're not you. You are. So there's that.
And part of the, when students first sign up, can that be part of your opening letter also of, please don't use AI?
Well, it could be, but there's a lot of stuff we go through when a student enrolls. So it's going to be on the dashboard, on your dashboard. Yeah. I've already got, a link to the article on how to get 100% on exams and assignments. And I have inserted the AI policy into that article, and I haven't gotten it uploaded yet, but I'm going to put these links on the dashboard where it's right there. And so students should be able to read them and deal with that. So consequences, the biggest thing is this going to go to where somebody's going to get expelled? I don't see that ever happening.
You know, if I can say, Teresa just wrote, maybe you can add it to the page we read before each test and assignment.
It is there now. I haven't done it at TFU yet, but I'm up to course 19 on IMHS.
Awesome.
And I still got a few more to go. And this
awesome.
There's this little box that I put in the newsletter with the policy, short and succinct. And so I'm adding that to the exam page, so that it can be seen every time, but good and a good suggestion too. So let me look at my note here. I want to see if I've covered everything. Again, I want to stress that students do not need to be paranoid about this. Just write your exams, write your assignments, take your exams. Don't let anybody else do it for you, including AI. Use spell checker and grammar checker, and you'll be good. Even if it flips it back at 100%, chances are it won't. But even if it does, it's only going to, if I start seeing some of these funky phrases that AI uses all the time, then I'm going to mention something, but I'm going to mention it kindly and respectfully. And then the student will have the opportunity to say, no, I'm not using that. And I'll take them at their word, because that's what I do. That's what I teach. I take people at their word. I give people the benefit of the doubt until there's a reason not to. That's my policy on everything, in relationships and everything. I give you the benefit of the doubt until there's a reason not to. And so,
I was just thinking how far we've come in 15 years. Oh my. from the beginning, this is a learning curve for everybody. It's not just students who are learning, it's people like yourself, Dr. Kelly, who are constantly having to stay on top of technology, let alone your software. It's like trying to be a tech as well as everything else. And but the evolution now of computers, and now with artificial intelligence, I just think of the evolution. I mean, I come from a day of underwriter typewriters, so do you. And IBM Selectrics. Oh man, when they came out with the whiteout tape, that was that was a lifesaver. And then telex machines and where we are now. It's quite mind-boggling. And I know for young people, who are so accustomed to technology, your neural pathways are different. But when we get older, we've got more neural pathways going simultaneously. I have a guy come out to change the device on my TV, and they said, well, we'll send it to you. You can do it. And I said, oh, no, you're going to come do it for me. I'm not learning another thing. But I appreciate the situation that you're in, Dr. Kelly, because it's a tough one.
It's like trying to thread a needle, it's like, And so the last couple of points I'll make is, you know, if I strongly suspect that a student is using AI apps to write their assignments and all that, I'm going to mention it, you know, and the potential remedies, if you will, or consequences are that, you know, they may not get honor roll or they may not get any awards that I would otherwise give, you know, that only raise their grades. So, but I don't see this being a big issue. And so I want to again stress, don't get paranoid over this, you know, just be you and write your assignments and take your exams. I had one student who got an exam answer wrong. And this is a good lesson for everybody. And she's a nice person, but she got an exam answer wrong and emailed me, says, you know, I don't understand why this is wrong. And the reason she got it wrong is because she had an AI app choose the right answer for her based on the stuff, and it got it wrong. Ooh. And I showed her the page, the segment, the page, the paragraph. It's right there in black and white. And see, that's the thing about my program. I started out, I wanted this to be straightforward. So when you go to the exam or the quiz and you read the question, you just need to go, they're all open book. You go look it up. You know, if you can't remember it, go look it up. If you're fuzzy on it, go look it up and do a search in your PDF document for that. And read it and relearn it and refresh your memory on it, because it's right there. All of the exam questions come straight out of the written study material, all of them. And so don't overthink it. You know, it's right there. And when I formulated the questions, I really tried to make it as clear as possible. You know, and some of the questions, they are continuously missed. And I put in there, are you sure of your answer? Go look it up to be sure. And students still miss it. You know, it's like, I'm trying, folks. I'm really trying. I want to see you do good, because when you do good, you feel good about yourself. And when you feel good about yourself, you'll do better and you'll have a much more positive impact on your world. So, you know, again, don't get paranoid. Just keep doing your thing and do it yourself. Don't let anybody else do it, a human or a machine. And if you have questions about something or concerned about something coming off, just email me. I'm a pretty reasonable guy. I'm not out to get anybody. I'm out to help everybody. So if you have something you're worried is going to not pass, then email it to me. I'll check it. No, you know, that's pretty much everything I had to say.
Dr. Micah said, Dr. Kelly, you were a lot nicer than my major professor at SDSU. If he thought you were trying to baffle him with BS, he would use a big, huge stamp, BS in capital letters, across their answer, and then you'd have the opportunity to support your answer verbally. That did not turn out too well.
Yep. That's funny.
But again, it's conventional schools versus other, and, you know, from your heart, wanting to help people. Like, everybody benefits. The school benefits, students benefit, we all do. And I think what you're encountering now is, it's a tough go. It's a really tough go.
It is.
And you've certainly got me thinking. And
that reminds me of one last thing. I meant to mention this before, that when students are using AI to write their essay answers or whatever, it has a certain cadence or tone to it. It's while it may not quite be a summarization of what the course taught, it's close. Even though they say, I learned this, this course also taught that. Well, I know what the course taught. So,
Do you think that's a bit sterile? Is that what you're trying to say? Like, the writing isn't personalized?
Yes. It's like, it's not personalized. It's not
generic.
You know, it's like surface. And I mean, I just rejected a final exam today because the first answer was about stuff not even in that segment.
Wow.
I'm thinking, what? You know, and think about it. These at IMHS, we have optional exams and some assignments. They're there as extra credit. And think about this. When you write an essay answer and I grade it, I mean, the only way you're going to miss points is if it's off topic. Otherwise, you're almost guaranteed 100% on it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't understand why more students don't do the optional ones, because, again, they're SAMs. Give me 1 second, because I got to take a drink.
I find this so fascinating, actually, in very many ways. I appreciate when someone personalizes their work in giving mm-hmm. a bit of a testimonial, you know, of I can relate to this because, mm-hmm. you know, this happened to me. And that's and you know, I do it as often as I can to say thanks for sharing your story. Or thanks for sharing. That's a great testimonial. You know, it's something because I want to support that sharing, that mm-hmm. personalization of what they're learning in it, not just this course taught me. And again, it's dry. It's I like that word, sterile. But do you find that students do personalize, the ones who, let's say, you can tell not using AI or actually putting in more testimonial
medicine? Yeah, I can tell. I mean, because they're talking about their lives and they'll say, you know, this happened to me, just like you were saying. You know, I really appreciated this point because there was a time when this happened and now I know how to deal with that better. You know, again, you can tell when somebody's actually writing about their own experience and what they're doing rather than just, this point in the course was a good point to bear in mind and use through the day. Well, they all are, frankly. The whole program is nothing but freaking gold. You know, I mean, the nuggets, they're gold nuggets. All of these points, and there's a zillion of them that make our lives better and easier and more peaceful. And they're all there. So, anyway.
You know, Donna has just written to you. She said, when I was younger, I had a few teachers that I felt set you up to fail. The entire time in IMHS, I felt that you set people up to succeed. I felt that I learned more about myself and my abilities in the last 20 months than I did in my former schooling.
Oh, thank you, Donna. I appreciate that because that's my goal. And thank you, Audra. And, you know, it's that's what I want. I want people to do well and you know, I'm just, I don't know how to stress that. If people could just, I mean, they can call me and talk to me too. And I'll tell them the same thing. I mean, I'm available. I'm accessible. So if you have questions or anything, or you have concerns, or you have self-doubt, or you have insecurities or whatever, and you're not sure about it, then just call me. I want to see you do well. I'm down to earth. I'm what you see is what you get. I'm not out to get anybody because I don't have to be that way. I just don't have to. I'm 66. I've been around the block a time or two in all kinds of situations.
You're so old. So,
yeah. Maybe you'll be as old as me one of these days.
You know, but it's true. You get a different perspective. And I do know this about you, that you're very accepting of people. Now, number one, all cultures, all races, no matter where you are in the world, it's got nothing to do with the nine principles of belief.
Absolutely.
And you do, to the best of your ability, follow those nine principles of belief. So there was a situation not too long ago that, you know, I told you that I've got your back. You know, and it's because of these things that I know your intent. You would never intentionally set up in any way to harm somebody, to ridicule somebody, judge somebody, or set them up to fail. It's not who you are. Like we may be a lot of things, and we might all have our flaws and our quirks and our idiosyncrasies, but that's you know, totally support the school, what you teach, and what you stand by. So,
thanks. I mean, we're all human, you know. Yeah. We're all human and trying to do our best at any given moment.
That's right.
You know, Dr. Mike has just brought up a good point, because I'd like to carry this conversation on to this part What I am concerned about is how AI will affect future jobs, particularly the loss of jobs due to AI.
Mm-hmm.
More to the point, though, if somebody has used AI in their education and they get put into the actual real world, they're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, they're going to fail, and they've trained this AI now to do the job they were trying to do. So it's
that's
a double whammy.
Point.
So the loss of jobs due to AI, absolutely. But if people have been relying on AI to communicate for them, how do you even know? I was in the store the other day. My purchase was $24.20. And I accidentally gave her two 20s. And I said, oh, no, I didn't mean to do that. Here, I'll give you five. And she got all flustered, young girl.
Hmm.
I said, well, just give me the 20 back. And now you've got 25.
Right.
And then she didn't know how much change to give me.
She couldn't do it in her head.
And she couldn't do it. And I said, you just owe me 80 cents. She goes, oh, okay, and just did it.
Yeah.
She couldn't think. And I thought, whoa. But now I'm thinking.
It's not new. 15, 20 years ago when I was management in restaurants, I could do it in my head, but we had a lot of new, especially kids, teens, they just can't. They're too used to calculators. They're not practiced enough with it. They get nervous in the moment and things like that build up, but. But anyway, no, it is going to be an interesting new world. It is. And, you know, we've covered a lot of great points. And
Wendy even said it too. Pretty soon people will not be able to think for themselves.
Exactly. And that's my big point in this. I hope I can be forgiven. We usually go 45 minutes to an hour. We're about that. And my poor dog Marley has had his head in my lap, and he's been whining this whole thing. I think he's feeling sick. And I hope that you can forgive me for asking if we can kind of bring this to a close, because I'm a little worried about him and I want to tend to him and check on him. So I hope I'm not being impolite.
Absolutely, Michael. So, Dr. Kelly, I'm so glad you came on the program tonight. This was a great conversation.
It really was.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And you guys had some great points, too, and so did everybody in the chat room. So appreciate it, and I appreciate everybody's support.
Absolutely. We have a good group here. You know, they're insightful. They think for themselves. They think critically. It is one of the reasons Wednesday evenings are my favorite night of the week. And I truly love this. So thank you, Dr. Doug Kelly, for giving me this opportunity to be part of this, to have this community.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome, son.
Every now and again I get formal. But, you know, I love this discussion. My big takeaway, you know, we are surrendering some of our own cognitive thought to AI, but also, as you also said earlier, AI just gets it wrong a lot. It pulls from a lot of sources, but then it'll also invent things to try and fit the narrative of the parameters it was asked. We've seen this time and time again, and given that government is using AI more and more, we've seen it in government actions too in reports. I will also say it's generational. Gen Z, very used to using AI right now. My generation, millennials and up, not so much. But those are my last points. Any last thoughts from either of you?
Not for me, thanks. But hope everybody is doing well. And as I say, July 4th, if you're in the U.S., and even if you're not, have a good, safe July 4th.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Vicky, I think that you had a recent Canada Day today or yesterday?
We did so. It was fabulous everywhere across Canada. You know, flags were raising, songs were singing, and we're all good up here. We
good
love
stuff.
It. So,
hi.
All right. Well, don't let them push you around out there, people.
Good stuff. Love you guys up there. Love everybody in the chat. Can't wait to see you next week. We didn't pull cards, so I think next week we'll take some questions from chat. We'll delve into cards a little bit more deeply, make sure that we pull cards for our folks in the chat, Inner Oracle and Tarot. And we look forward to you joining us then. So I will say, until we get to see you next week, and I'm very much looking forward to that, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.